Halas didn't know what the humming balls did, nor wanted to know. He would go away, possibly with his friend Garma, if he could find her. If shooting started, they would hide in a deep hole, and he would share his tissues with her. Some had nothing on them but bits of shaving soap, but there were wet snots and big boogies in some of the others. He could smell their enticing aroma even now. He would save the biggest of the latter, the one with the jellied blood in it, for Garma, and she might let him pokey-poke. Halas walked faster, smiling at the prospect of going pokey-poke with Garma. 2. Sitting on the cruisin' trike, in the concealment afforded by one of the empty sheds north of the compound, Susanna watched Halas go. She noted that the poor disfigured Sai was smiling about something, so things had probably gone well with him. That was good news indeed. Once he was out of sight, she returned her attention to her end of Algolciento. She could see both stone towers, although only the top half of the one on her left, the rest was concealed by a fold of hillside. They were shackled about with some sort of ivy. Cultivated rather than wild, Susanna guessed, given the barrenness of the surrounding countryside. There was one fellow in the west tower, sitting in what appeared to be an easy chair, maybe even a lazy boy. Standing at the railing of the east one were a Tahin with a beaver's head, and a low man. If he was a Hume, Susanna thought, he was one butt-ugly son of a bitch. The two of them in conversation, pretty clearly waiting for the horn that would send them off shift and to breakfast in the commissary. Between the two watchtowers, she could see the triple line of fencing, the runs strung widely enough apart so that more sentries could walk in the aisles between the wire without fear of getting a lethal zap of electricity.